Welcome to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm Graham Richmond, and this is your wiretaps for Monday, January 26th, 2026. Looking for an MBA experience where you're truly seen, supported, and inspired to grow? At Vanderbilt Business, you'll discover a personalized learning environment that elevates your potential and turns ambition into action. Whether you're switching careers or accelerating your current path, the Vanderbilt MBA offers a customizable curriculum, exceptional outcomes, and a community committed to your success. Propel your future with a program invested in who you are and who you're becoming. Vanderbilt is waiving their $200 application fee for MBA Wiretaps listeners. To learn more about the Vanderbilt MBA program and to claim your application fee waiver, visit business.vanderbilt.edu/clearadmit. I'm joined by Alex Brown from Cornwall, England. Alex, how are things going?
Very good. Thank you, Graham.
So this week we've got some very exciting news about MBA admissions interviews, particularly for round two candidates. We're going to hear student voices at Minnesota Carlson and, of course, our usual rundown of candidate profiles and admissions decision dilemmas. But first, what's going on, Alex? Any interview invites coming out? Where are we in the process right now?
Yeah, we're starting to see more schools begin releasing their interview invites, you know, especially those that trickle them out over a period of time. So Yale, Haas, Kellogg, Keenan, Flagler, Jones, Darden, Tepper, Johnson, Anderson, Kelly, and McDonough are among the schools that over the last couple of days have released interview invites. So that sort of activity is starting to really pick up, Graham.
And can I get you on record? When do you think Harvard will issue round two interview invitations? Is it going to be this week or do you think it'll be next week?
I think it'll be next week. Sorry, as we're recording. It's possible it'll be at the end of this week, Thursday or Friday or early next week. So that'll be, you know, as we've talked about on several occasions, some schools release interview invites all at once. Others trickle them out. So the ones we're talking about to this point are the ones that trickle them out over several weeks. But Harvard, like Wharton, like Booth, Ross, a couple of others, make those interview invite decisions all at once and release them all at once. So obviously Harvard is the big player in this, and they get those interview invites out quite early relative to some of these other schools that I just mentioned. Either Thursday, Friday this week, Monday, Tuesday, the following week would be my best guess. And as you'll talk about a little bit later, or we could talk about now, we've got a round two interview schedule up on the site that sort of indicates when Harvard would be releasing these decisions.
Yeah, excellent segue. So yeah, that's one of the things I was going to list today is like an admissions tip. We have this table on the site that goes through exactly our prediction of when interview invitations will flow for those schools that trickle them, the entire kind of range of when we expect to see them, and then even our predicted date for schools that either issue them all at once and don't tell you the date in advance, or even those that do. So it's all on this calendar, really useful if you're in that round two pool and you're wondering. We also did a tip, which you point out might be a little early, but we ran a tip about Wharton's interview process, which is quite different. They do a team-based interview or a team-based discussion. And so we have a tip that's up on the site about that. So lots of interview stuff, but I want to talk about something that I'm super excited about. And I feel like you are at least as excited as I am. And that is that we have a new tool that we've just unveiled. By the time this podcast airs, it should be live. And I want you to tell us about it. It's something that's going to help people to prepare for their interviews, right?
Yeah, so it's a new bot. Well, we've called it the MBA Interview Simulator. Mm-hmm. So the marketing person on our team decided to give it a proper name. So that's really good. And the idea here, and it's trained off of all the interview reports that we have at Clear Admit, as well as all of our interview tips, our interview guides, et cetera, et cetera. So it's trained off of a lot of insight and knowledge. And candidates that are interviewing it, maybe it's about 15 different programs, top 15, sort of 15 programs out of the top 20. They would upload their resume, press a button, and they would begin an interview with whichever school that they select. And, you know, 6 months ago when we were testing this, it was getting a little bit frustrating. The interview was a bit random, the interview, whatever. But, you know, over probably, I would say, the last 6 months, we put a lot of effort into fine-tuning and testing and sweating and various other things to get this product, it's currently in beta, to really provide a, I think, a very realistic interview experience and a really detailed summary report of the interview performance, which we're hoping is useful for candidates then as they sort of prepare for their interviews, right? They're getting feedback. So they're not just having the interview experience, but they're getting direct feedback. And quite frankly, Graham, I think the feedback mechanism is absolutely fantastic. So kudos to our developer, who remains nameless. It's certainly not me, but I think the feedback mechanism is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I have to be honest. So the first time I saw one of these feedback reports, because the way that it works is you know, as you say, you upload your resume, pick a school, do your interview. You can either speak your interview and there's a microphone, you know, picks it up, or you can type in your answers if you're maybe at work and don't want your boss to know that you're practicing your interview strategies and stuff. But anyway, at the end, you get this report. The first time I saw one of these reports, I was like, it took me right back to my days working admissions and the kind of report that you would often see come through on a file after someone interviewed. So really useful report. Grading people in certain areas. And yeah, so I cannot wait for this, you know, for people to see how this is received. And I will say, we have an article that by the time this airs will have run that announces the MBA interview simulator. And I gave a couple of quotes for the article, but I wanted to read one of them because I just really believe in what I said for the article. And I think it sums it up. And I just said, what excites me most about the MBA interview simulator is that it isn't just generic AI asking random interview questions. It's built on more than 20 years of ClearAdmit's interview advice, thousands of firsthand interview reports from our interview archive, and countless conversations with admissions directors at leading business schools. By grounding the technology in that deep curated knowledge base, we've avoided the too many cooks spoil the recipe problem and created an interview experience that feels genuinely realistic and school specific. So anyway, that was my quote for the article. I know you haven't seen the article yet, Alex, but hopefully that quote works for you.
Did you use ChatGPT to fine-tune your quote? Sounds very good.
Yeah, I wrote it, and then I put what I wrote, which I thought was really great, into ChatGPT and said, hey, what do you think about this? And I expected ChatGPT to say, hey, your AI thing's not as good as me, you know. Right. But no, it gave me good feedback and actually just some tweaks and stuff. But I mean, this is exciting. So anyway, it's on the site. There'll be an article and links, and we'll get some social media out about it. But can't wait for people to use this thing.
Yes, I am equally excited.
Yeah, so I want to backtrack and just go
over. I'm nervous.
Yeah. Oh, it's a beta. And we do have a feedback form that you can fill out. So if you have a bad experience, obviously let us know and we'll continue to tweak it. So we do have some events coming up. So literally this week, this episode airs on Monday. I think it's Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday the 28th. We've got a webinar that we're doing, which is called Does an MBA Still Open Doors for You? The Truth About Growth, Leadership, and what comes next. That's at 10 a.m. Eastern. And then in early February, on the 4th and the 11th, we're doing our deferred enrollment events with some very top MBA programs. Those are at noon Eastern on those dates, and we're connecting with MIT, Yale, Berkeley, Stanford, Columbia, Wharton, and a few others too. So yeah, definitely sign up for those events. You can just go to clearadmit.com/events. Otherwise, Alex, we did have, we connected with students over at Minnesota Carlson. The timing is somewhat, I don't know if ironic's the right word, but given, you know, Minnesota is a city that is very much in the news in the United States these days for all the wrong reasons. And so we happened to just at this time be connecting with Carlson students at University of Minnesota's MBA program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wanted to just highlight, we talked to this current student whose name is Manushi Patel. She's class of 27, 24 years old, and is from Woodbury, Minnesota originally, and went to St. Olaf College, did a Bachelor of Arts in nursing, and is currently, I guess she went to nursing school because her pre-MBA work experience is pediatric registered nurse, working in healthcare at the Mayo Clinic, so one of the better places on earth to do healthcare work. So she'd done that for a bit of time and then decided to go to business school. So we asked her why, you know, here you are, a registered nurse working at one of the most prestigious places in the world. What prompted this decision? And she had a really interesting answer. She said, "My decision to attend business school came from a desire to complement my healthcare training with a broader business perspective. While pursuing my MHA, I became increasingly aware of how critical strategy, finance, and operations are to organizational performance and how differently these functions can work across industries. Healthcare is often slower to adopt efficient systems, which made me curious to learn how other industries operate, innovate, and scale. The MBA felt like the right step to build those skills, broaden how I think about organizations, and prepare for leadership roles where I can apply best practices across settings." So I thought that was really well said. I mean, that sounds like it came right out of maybe her essay to get into the program or something, because it's a really great statement about her desire for the MBA.
Yeah, I won't criticize her for forgetting the marketing role. But yeah, no, very good.
Yeah, and we also asked her what's one part of the application process that you would have skipped if you could have, and what helped you get through it. And as you know, almost everyone always talks about the tests. They don't like taking tests, but she had an interesting response, and that's why I wanted to share it. She said, "I would have skipped worrying too much about whether I fit a certain profile. Talking to current students and alumni helped me realize there's no single mold for an MBA student." And I think that cannot be said enough, frankly, Alex. I mean, I think that's a really interesting point and an important one.
Yeah, it's important. And just remember, an MBA is a generalist degree.
Yeah.
So you're going to get folks from all walks of life that could walk through the door at Minnesota or at Harvard or wherever. Absolutely.
Yeah. So in any event, there are several other students that we profiled over at University of Minnesota Carlson. So check out the website if you want to learn more. Otherwise, Alex, I want to talk about the candidates that you've picked this week. And I want to remind everyone that we really would love it if you'd leave reviews over on Apple or at least subscribe to the show wherever you're listening. That definitely helps spread the word. And yeah, just whatever you can do to help bring more folks into our community here. We love to connect with everyone. And you can write to Alex and I by just writing to info@clearadmit.com. Use the subject.
Oh, don't forget, Graham.
Yeah?
We got the AMA on Tuesday.
Yes.
I don't think you mentioned that.
I didn't mention that. You're right. So on Tuesday of this week, so literally tomorrow, if you're listening to this when the show first airs, you and I are going to do an Ask Me Anything, which is great because we can talk about the interview simulator. We can talk about round two stuff. We can, you know, whatever people want to discuss. People with their decision dilemmas, maybe still from round one. So we will be connecting. That's at noon Eastern. Thanks for the reminder on Tuesday, the 27th of January. So yeah, Alex, I'm looking forward to that too.
Yeah, me too. And no doubt we'll be talking about hopefully our MBA interview simulator, because hopefully loads of folks that are on that AMA are getting ready for their interviews.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, if you want to write to us, info@clearadmit.com, use the subject line wiretaps. Otherwise, Alex, I'm ready to talk candidates.
Let's kick on.
All right, so this is Wiretaps candidate number one. Our first candidate this week has just four schools on the target list. Those are MIT Sloan, Northwestern Kellogg, Wharton, and Stanford. This person's not looking to apply until next cycle, so they'll be applying probably next fall. They'd worked or have been working as a software engineer in their pre-MBA career. At least that's the most recent position that they're in. They'd love to get into finance or fintech or maybe even private equity after business school. They took the GMAT and have a 720. They also have a perfect 4.0 GPA in undergrad. They have 3 years of work experience, and they are planning, they say. So one of the wrinkles here is this person's already been admitted via deferred admission to Darden. So UVA Darden, they have a spot and presumably would be matriculating in 27. But they've decided and shared with us that they're going to apply to a few other schools next fall to see if maybe they can get into a school that they, I guess, perceive to be higher ranked or maybe better suited. I don't know. So as a result, they're planning on taking the GMAT again, the Focus Edition, sometime in the next 6 months, and they're looking to get like a really good score. They mentioned that their undergraduate degree was in applied physics with an emphasis on computer science and a double minor in computer science and Spanish. They went to what they describe as a top 120 school in the U.S. They also did a couple of years of academic research and have their name on some publications that I guess are related to physics. And this was done while they were an undergrad. Then they worked as an independent contractor for a year as a data analyst when they graduated from university. But for the last year plus, they've been working as a web developer at a large public financial services brokerage firm. And so they would have a total of like 3 years of work experience by the time they matriculate. They are self-taught in Spanish. They'd lived in Argentina for a year, apparently, where they taught some English classes. They also did a summer internship in Madrid in IT consulting. They are from the US, but they did spend several years of their secondary school in the UK and Australia. And they love skiing, recreational sports, guitar, and mobile app development. So Alex, what do you make of this candidate? And you know, what do you think of this idea? They've been accepted, deferred to Darden, and it looks like they're trying to apply to some other schools and see what else is out there. But what do you think of this?
Yeah, I mean, I think the strategy there is absolutely fine. I'd see a lot of folks, they get the deferred admissions option, and that gives them, you know, a sense of comfort, and now they can take a punt at some of the very top programs if they hadn't applied to those in the deferred admission, or if they weren't successful for those in the deferred admissions process. So I think the strategy is absolutely fine. I mean, this person seems like a super smart person, right? A geek or whatever. I mean, a 4.0 in applied physics, I mean, that seems to signal to me that they're very smart. And it seems like through their career, you know, they're on a couple of research papers noted. Mm-hmm. And again, if that's in the domain of physics or computer science, whatever, they're obviously very smart.
Yeah, I would say other than physics, I mean, other than art history, you know, physics is probably right up there, right?
Yeah. You can say that with a straight face. That's very good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so to me, they're super smart. They probably, whatever they've decided to do in their career, they've probably done it well. They've got lots of different interests, and they've done some nice volunteer work. So through their church as well as outside of their church and so forth. But my concern is there's not a really strong thread in their professional development post undergrad that tells me they're on a positive trajectory. They've made some deliberate decisions to get there, and now makes perfect sense for them to get the MBA, and here's their goals. I don't even know really what their goals are in terms of, you know, post-MBA. I think they mentioned two or three different industries that sort of fit some of the things that they've done already, so in finance, et cetera, et cetera. But I would really love to hear a much more thoughtful post-MBA goal, and really over the next year, really sort of further develop their professional experiences, taking on challenges to help them articulate that growth and impact. Mm-hmm. Over this next year or 6 months or 8-10 months to when they apply, because they do have time. And if they can do that, as well as solidify those goals and come back with a slightly higher GMAT, then yeah, M7 is going to be accessible. But I worry that they're going to not quite get there at this point.
Yeah, it's a really interesting case. So I have no problem with them, you know, looking at other programs. I mean, this is, as you say, quite common. I think, yeah, they would need to boost their test score, which they seem to be set on doing. But the cynic in me says, or if I want to look at the more negative side, I would say, well, you know, the work experience is not jumping off the page at me, because they, you know, they did like a year as an independent contractor doing kind of data as a data analyst. And then they've done a year so far as a web developer in the financial services domain, but it's a tech kind of job. So it's not, you know, nothing's sort of like, I don't know what kind of milestones they've reached at work. And as you point out, they say that they want to work in finance, fintech, or private equity, but they don't give any details in this kind of explanation they gave on ApplyWire here. So yeah, there's room to be done in all those areas. I guess I could see my way to, if they have a great year at work, really do, you know, superbly on the test, then suddenly you're talking, you know, what if they have like a 700 something on the, you know, 99th percentile, the focus edition, as they say they're looking to achieve, plus a 4.0, applied physics, like you can start to see your way to, wow, this person's, you know, maybe very competitive at a top school.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt they're well smart enough to be in the top tertile of candidates at a top school. That, to me, they're going to be able to present that aspect of their profile quite easily, 4.0 applied physics, et cetera, et cetera. But it's the pathway that they've gone down and their connection to goals and that needs to be better developed. And they are completely different areas of the, the review process for ADCOMS. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, agreed. So anyway, there's work to do there. It's funny, when I read their background, I was like, oh, it'd be kind of interesting if they were, I don't know, if they had like a passion for the business world of like, what do we call them? What are they called? Low orbiting satellites, or, you know, something that might have something to do with physics, but also be business and internet and, you know, like, I don't know. But instead it's finance, fintech, private equity. So I don't know. They need to flesh that out and figure out what they're going to do. But anyway, I want to thank them for sharing their profile. And as we say, they're playing with house money because they got an offer in hand. So no worries. You got to go for it, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on and talk about Wiretap's candidate number two. So our second candidate this week has just three schools on the target list, and they are Harvard, Wharton, and Stanford. And this person, I believe, has applied to these schools in round two. They have been working in consulting and are looking at healthcare post-MBA. They had a 324 on the GRE and a 3.51 undergraduate GPA, 5 years of work experience prior to business school, and they are located in Virginia. And, you know, it's funny, you right away asked them, are you only applying to Harvard, Wharton, and Stanford? And they said, and you also said, maybe you should look at Duke, given this healthcare interest as one program to add. And they said, oh, I already got into Duke, as well as UCLA and USC, which I presume is University of Southern California and not South Carolina, in round one. And they said they have, they have those offers in hand. And then they also just mentioned they have a wide range of dedicated extracurriculars from undergrad and work, including athletics, along with great relationships with their recommenders. So here they are setting out in round two, Alex. What do you think of their chances in cracking the trilogy and potentially, you know, looking at other options beyond the Duke, UCLA, and USC offers they have?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great that they a really good strategy, right? They've got some good options from round one, but let's take a flyer in round two to see where they can land. With that healthcare interest, I'd probably like to have seen Kellogg potentially as one of the schools they take a bit of a flyer on. And I just worry that there's this quite big gap between sort of the top 16 programs, Duke and Anderson, to Harvard, Stanford, Wharton. Hence, you know, maybe if they'd have added Kellogg, that might have sort of narrowed that gap a little bit. I think the strategy is good. And if they've got, you know, strong recommenders, clearly their work experience must have been very good. So that's good. Outside of activities and so on and so forth will be important to articulate, and it sounds like they think that's also very good, because obviously the GRE doesn't sort of leap off the page at 324. It's going to be slightly below the median of certainly Harvard, Stanford, and Wharton anyway. But taking the punt on these programs, I think, is absolutely a good idea. I hadn't factored in that USC could have been South Carolina. They're based in Virginia.
Yeah.
And it was curious to me that I thought they had admits at Anderson and Marshall.
Yeah, no, they probably do.
So do they have a focus on wanting to be on the West Coast? And if so, does that change some of their considerations for schools? But having Duke as an option for focus in healthcare, I think puts them in a really good spot.
Yeah, and I would argue that I love your idea about Kellogg, because this ship may have sailed if they, you know, this was kind of round two stuff and maybe it's too late, but Kellogg would have been a smart fit because, as you say, it slots in between a Stanford or something and the schools that have admitted them.
Yeah.
Also very strong in healthcare. And also of the schools that are not out in California directly, it has a pretty good placement track record for California. So if they were looking to go out west, it's not the worst place to go.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll see where the chips fall. But I do agree with you that I when I first saw this, I was like, oh, 324, 35, both of those numbers are below the medians at Harvard, Stanford, and Wharton. And so it's always tough to get into the trilogy period, let alone if your numbers are, you know, kind of a little bit below. So we'll see. But I think, you know, like the first candidate, they're playing with house money. They have offers at some really great MBA programs in Duke, UCLA, and USC. So, you know, I think there's no harm here. We'll see what happens. Hopefully they get some interview invitations and we'll go from there.
Yeah, no, very good.
All right. I want to thank them for sharing their profile. Let's move on and talk about Wiretap's candidate number three. So our third candidate this week is actually someone who's already applied and gotten some offers. This comes from a DecisionWire post that we received, and this candidate doesn't know where to go. They applied to Columbia, Duke, Michigan, Stern, Wharton, Darden, and Yale, and they ended up with three offers. They got into Columbia, they got into Michigan Ross with $80,000, and they also got into UVA Darden, again, with $80,000 in scholarship. And just to be clear, CBS Columbia did not give them any money, so that's a full fare offer. They want to work in finance, specifically investment banking, and even more specifically, they're quite interested in media and entertainment. So they're thinking about either an iBanking role that focuses on that sector, or potentially an in-house strategy or corporate development role in the media and entertainment sector. So I just want to be clear about their goals. Their GRE score was a 321, their GPA a 3.5, located in the Northeast, and they said in the note to us that they are struggling to decide between Columbia and Darden, given the difference in cost of attendance with scholarship and the lower cost of living. They said that they love New York, but they're a bit worried that the CBS experience won't be as tight-knit due to the location. So, Alex, what should this person do? It's kind of an interesting quandary.
Yeah, I mean, it is an interesting quandary, and there's no absolute right answer. I mean, you've got a top 16 program with an 80K award, and you've got an M7 program with no award, and probably the cost of living higher at the M7 program too. So the cost differential will be a little bit substantial. But I mean, there's no doubt that Columbia, because it's in New York City, it's connected more directly to the top investment banks, bulge brackets, et cetera, et cetera, as well as it's probably deeper ties to the media and entertainment space, again, being in New York City, that Columbia offers the greatest access. And so the question becomes, is it worth paying that extra money for that opportunity? Some of the other things to consider is obviously the different experiences at Darden, case method in a small college town sort of environment, so much more directly connected with your classmates, to being in New York City, where there potentially are going to be additional distractions and just lots of stuff going on, but in a larger program. And actually, one of the points that one of our contributors made, I should say our contributor made on this, I thought was really insightful, that whilst, sure, there might be more distractions at Columbia and sort of slightly less cohesiveness in that MBA experience, you're more likely to stay engaged with your Columbia classmates post-MBA when you're in New York City than you will with your Darden classmates. And I thought that was a really interesting observation.
Yeah, I think, I mean, so once again, this contributor on the site, you know, it's someone who comes and regularly comments on DecisionWire posts and likes to weigh in, gave some really insightful comments. Yeah. And I guess the thing that kind of struck me too, though, as I read through this person's profile is, remember, they said they want to work in, first they said kind of finance or investment banking, but then in the details, when they really explained it, they're focused on media and entertainment, and they either want to get in there via finance or potentially corporate strategy.
Yeah.
And so then I started thinking, oh, you know, well, if they were to try to do corporate strategy, then, you know, obviously going to a consulting firm or joining one of these media and entertainment companies straight out of school, you know, does that put the ball back into the sort of, you know, strengths of, say, a Darden, which is very focused on strategy and, you know, places very well in consulting? But, you know, all these companies are in New York or on the West Coast. So there's that proximity issue. And yeah, it's challenging. I mean, I do think that it comes down to this person's preferences for both risk and for environment, because it's true, you know, in Charlottesville on a college campus like UVA, you're going to have one experience, and it's going to be very different from the experience you would have in Manhattan at Columbia. And I'm not saying one of those is better than the other. They're just going to be different. And so I think the candidate needs to weigh, you know, this is a couple years of their life. They need to weigh that and figure out where they'd be happiest. And I, you know, obviously, all these schools are great. The money's great. I think you're right that, you know, you point out the cost of living's different. And so that $80,000 from Darden may actually look more like over $100,000 when you start to think about the differences in living in New York City for 2 years versus Charlottesville. But yeah, this is it's not an open and shut case, as you pointed out.
Yeah. Yet again, we've not been able to provide a good answer to this decision wire question, but there we go.
Well, I think hopefully we've raised some issues and, you know, got them thinking. But yeah, no one will fault them from going one direction or the other. And once again, we see the scholarship dollars kind of playing out as you might expect, you know, where you're going to get bigger offers as you move down in the rankings. That kind of makes sense in some cases, right? So
yeah.
In any event, I want to thank that person for sharing their dilemma with us. Alex, thanks for picking out these candidates, and let's connect next week to do it all again.
Very good. Stay safe, everyone. Take care.